Another interesting feature of the concept of fidelity in espionage circles is the idea of the perpetual spy. Many spy thrillers, usually written by less than thrilling ex-spies, depend on that plot focus on sleepers and double, triple, the MI and the Carter Orange would probably have come up with at least 10, allegiances. These books, of course, are always microcosmic. There can be twists and turns within the field of patriotism, but there is never any envisaging of permanent choices outside it. Some improbable Russian honey trap may be converted by capitalist sex, but Smiley isn't going to retrench to the Russians. Nor, unlike Kipling's Kim, one of the first and best modern spy novels, is there any real possibility for the trapped, tricky innocent to escape to a higher metaphysical plane. In this aspect, the works and life of Graham Greene resemble the world of Kipling, not Le Carré and Company. I have wanted for years to discuss the thesis by a journalist writing for the Australian magazine Heat that Greene's left-wing statements, including in favour of Castro's Cuba, were invalid as he was uttering them as a current British spy. The effect was to attempt to discredit Greene's often stated left-wing political positions. Greene had certainly worked for British intelligence in the Second World War and possibly before that. I believe he was recruited by his sister, and there was never anything nefarious about it. Indeed, his then-fellow agent, Malcolm Muggeridge, often commented that, considering the works of the two ex-agents, Ian Fleming and Green, Green's Our Man in Havana was the only accurate description he had read of MI6. Whilst Green may have been amused to accept funding from any established British institution, it would have been a gigantic own goal, even from MI6, to encourage him to make statements and create novels to explain and promote left-wing causes. No information that could have been gained by lulling left-wing governments would have been worth that cost to right-wing propaganda. If one looks at the litmus test of manipulations for the Nobel Prize, it is obvious, too, that there was zealous right-wing pressure against Green receiving it. There seems to be always a useful in vino veritas about the history of the Nobel. It is like the favourite football match of spy agencies, at least in the desperate barracking. The essence of Green's plots is macrocosmic. The spy or the lover or the priest transcends the microcosm of trickery and violence to attain the higher sphere of idealism, humanity, humour and transcendence. In death, as in The Power and the Glory, or in life, as in the glorious Our Man in Havana. In the same way, Kipling's orphan Kim, the poorest of the poor, is recruited and educated for the British cause in the Great Game against the Russians in Afghanistan in the late 19th century, and he spies efficiently and dutifully, but finally chooses instead to remain with his mentor, the Lama, who has realised that the river of enlightenment is in the plains, not the mountains. It is the possibility of this transcendence that is left-wing. There is no possibility that any reader of Kim would have believed that Kipling thought The Great Game a worthwhile ending, any more than a reader of Green could believe that he was still embroiled inescapably with MI6.